Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thanks for being with us here today as we talk about connecting technology to customers. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so glad that you chose to spend some time today listening to us to talk about you, your life, your business, and how you can thrive. Technology is such a cool thing. Those of you that know me know that I've been in tech space pretty much all my life. My older brother says I invented the internet. I don't know that that's totally true, but I did definitely see the potential of it way back early days of the computers. I remember telling him, and this probably was actually before we all had internet, that someday we would be doing all of our shopping and all of our movie watching and all those kind of things on the internet, or well, on computers. You know, it's true. And I love how technology can empower us. I don't really live in that space like I know some people do, where I'm worried about the rise of the machines. I mean, I do think that there are some potential for people to do some relatively ignorant, unsmart, whatever words you want to use, things that could create problems. But I also think, right along with the movie Terminator, is the movie War Games, where it was through a simple game of tic-tac-toe, they were able to show the computer, the autonomous computing device, the fallacy of trying to truly win a war, and that it was a really, truly no-win game. I think it would be interesting to see a Terminator movie where, you know, what ended up happening is the machines actually won completely, and you know, then they just started fighting amongst one another for supremacy of who is going to be the most supreme machine, and they realized that the war was senseless, and ended up actually sending back Terminators to terminate the Terminators, kind of a thing. James Cameron, if you heard that, you may take that and run with it, and you could just send me a check in the mail. But really, when it comes to technology, it really has to do with, how do we connect? How do we serve better? How do we help better? What are the ways that technologies can help us connect with our customers? What are some new and inventive technologies and devices and things like that that can make our world better? What are some marketing strategies, some branding things? What are the kind of things that we need to do using technology and not, to be able to really show to our customers how much we care? There's an old saying, predates the internet, predates at least when I knew of computers. It goes like this: people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that really ultimately is what we need to be striving for as we're living as thriving entrepreneurs, is connecting with our customers. And technology is a great tool to be able to do that, to be able to show them a better way to do things, to be able to reach them where they are in new and more innovative and better ways, to be able to do things quicker, faster, more efficiently, more impactfully for our customers' lives. Those are exactly the kind of things that I'm talking about when I look at the concept of connecting technology to customers. And those are the kind of things we want to talk about today. We've got three really amazing guests. They're from completely kind of different areas, but each of them has a way that they're using a technology, a device, to make your life better, or to make the lives of the tech companies that they work with better, so that ultimately, again, your life is better, so you can live as a thriving entrepreneur. With that said, let's jump in to our first guest. Join me in welcoming Laura Johns. Hey, Laura, how you doing today?
Hey, great. Great to meet you and see you and be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Glad to have you here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
So, Laura Johns, I'm founder and CEO today of The Business Growers, also a mom of two rowdy boys, 7 and 3. Found my way in tech, B2B tech marketing through coincidentally babysitting for a family, and the CEO, the dad of the family just happened to be the CEO of a tech company. And that's kind of where it piqued my interest, started doing that, working for his company out of college. One of Mississippi's best tech success stories, in my opinion, SmartSync was the name of the company, sold for $100 million in 2012, and had the opportunity to work there, work for the company that acquired them, and then not long after started my own marketing agency serving tech companies, particularly those that are above 5 million but 50 or less employees that don't have or really need a full in-house marketing team, but need a marketing partner that acts like one. So that's what we do at The Business Growers today.
Tech companies are interesting breed, you know, because
yes,
depending on how they take things, they either don't feel like they need any help at all, or they feel like they already know it all.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the hardest, actually had a brand messaging session this week where I sat with a client and there's a new client that said something that I will say I've probably heard a million times. And I think it's very specific to tech is when they sit in the room and they say, well, I can't really talk about our competitors or explain what we do because nobody really does what we do exactly like we do it. And I'm like, you're not the only one that thinks that. So it's good to remind folks that you can find a unique message and really talk about your brand in a compelling way. Either true competition, and there's always digital or act, you know, they're always going to have somewhere else to go to find what they are looking for. So
absolutely. I used to always say that I specialized in translating tech back into human.
Yes. Yes. There's always got to be somebody in the room that can do that. You know, I'd say 95% of my career has been spent in the room with engineers. And I think that it is an art, and I didn't realize that, you know, back when I would, when I was a little girl and I'd be the person at the table that would try to, you know, I would hear this person at this end of the table and realize that this person at this end of the table really didn't understand what this person at the other end of the table was trying to say. So I would hop in and serve as a liaison between, I kind of felt like that was one of my faults, but as I became the marketing person in the room full of engineers, I realized that there's got to be somebody in the room that can take technical concepts and make them make sense to a buyer. So I've built a career out of it, which has been pretty fun.
Absolutely. I love that. So, you know, tech companies do have their own specific needs. You know, I mean, when you're selling, say, for example, a shirt, most everybody's worn a shirt. They know what a shirt is. But, you know, a lot of times when we're doing breakthroughs in technology, you know, it's not something anybody's ever done before. So you have to
right.
help them explain it. What are some of the nuances that you've found in marketing tech companies?
Yeah, I think particularly, and this is really part of the reason why I called the business growers. I think that it is very easy for tech specifically to get caught in the flashy stuff, the Google ads, the, you know, Reels or TikTok or whatever might seem to be the hottest new marketing ticket item out there. And we don't spend enough time worried about, you know, a cohesive, you know, message, like I was saying earlier, spending a lot of time building that foundation. I talk often about how my mom, I have a plant at home. And when my kids were really, my firstborn was a baby, he's now 7. But when I was home with a newborn, I wasn't concerned about my garden or my plants. And she came to my house and saw a potted plant. And she said, Laura, this plant is dying. It's root bound. And I just saw green coming up and I thought it was fine, but she actually went under the soil and realized there was too much going on down there for it to grow in a healthy way. And and that was actually what sparked me to name the business, The Business Growers, because a lot of times these tech companies are root bound like that plant was. They don't, they just got a lot of going on, a lot of ideas, a lot of, renderings, or maybe a lot of, product demos that they're doing, but they're doing a lot of activity, but they aren't really taking it back to that foundation, what's under the soil, that's really the honestly the core and most critical thing. Getting that messaging around that, these flash, for lack of a word, tactic, marketing tactics will work later on if you build them. I'm talking about making sure that we dial that in.
Yeah, absolutely. Seemed like it was only, speaking specifically of Flash, it seems like it was only tech companies that actually ever were using Flash. So what are the things that you wish tech companies knew or had in place before they contact you and go to work with you?
Oh, that's a good question. Besides how much money it costs to start your start your brand, for, I think that anytime someone, I will say, I'm certainly not, the most expensive. Their marketing costs money, but I do think re the reality is, I actually just had a webinar a couple of weeks ago where I walked tech companies through backing into their budget based on the goals they want to achieve. And I think sometimes we have lofty sales goals and say, hey, I've got to hit $1 million in revenue this year. Well, if you back into $1 million in revenue, how much is your ticket item? Let's just say it's 3 grand a month. Well, if you're trying to hit to get the million, I think it was like 12.7 if you use the rule of 78 or something like that. So basically, you've realistically got to have 30 quality leads a month if your close ratio is X percent. There's a lot of factors in growth. And so I think that, the real the having a realistic mindset about what you're trying to achieve and what it's going to take to get there. Because what we do a lot of times is we find that if you either try to do marketing on your own or you go find an agency that may not be up to speed with your particular product or service, then you spend a whole lot of money on activity and not impact. And so there is a way that you can put marketing dollars in things that are impactful. And we're in 2024 almost. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to measure everything you're doing. And see, data drives everything in this day and age when it comes to marketing. So we are no longer in the age where you're having to throw money out and see what sticks. And I think that if, as long as we're realistic about the goals we're trying to achieve and what it's going to take to get there, then that usually starts things off on a really good foot for me and my clients.
So, for the company that's just starting off, you talked about the level that typically a company is at before they engage with you. For a company that's brand new, they're just starting out, what are some of the kind of tips that you can give to them that they really can do now for their own marketing?
Really practical and things that you can do yourself. I usually say clients and potential customers for business to business tech companies, they're going to look at a couple of things. They're going to look at your website. So your web having a website is important. I know that a lot of people think, oh, well, I have a Facebook page or I have a social media account. That should be enough for now. You don't own Facebook. So there are a lot of factors and a lot of you're really depending on the algorithm to get you what you need on a channel like that. Social media is great. We do it for our clients every day, but having a website where you can really control the message and the narrative and the path, the flow in which someone comes to your website and makes a decision, website's very important. Also, make sure that your website is mobile friendly. So over 80% of users today are now looking at websites on a cell phone. So we actually build our sites to mobile friendliness first, to make sure that that mobile compatibility is there. So building a website, not only having one, but having one that's mobile friendly is important. Also, your Google reviews, there is Google, you can go to business.google.com, get you a Gmail account, get your Google business profile set up. You can send a link out to family and friends and start to get reviews. If you're a business that has a lot of bad reviews, that will significantly impact other people wanting to do business with you. So if you're brand new and just starting out, go ahead and get a Google Business profile and send out a link for all of your friends and family to leave you a positive review. That's a great first step you can take. So website, Google Business profile. And then third, I would just say social media. Particularly in the tech world, I think that it's not our number one place where we're going to get our lead conversions all the time, depending on the product that you sell. But it certainly looks bad if you haven't updated your profile since 2016. That tells me you're not relevant. That tells me you don't care. So having some sort of consistent, relevant content, and it doesn't have to be, I will say, it's not always give this advice. If you go, let's just say you have a dinner buddy and y'all go to dinner and you go to dinner 3 times in a row, and every time you go, he tries to sell you insurance. The next time he calls, you're not going back to dinner with him. You don't want to buy insurance. Same thing goes for social media. Don't sell something every time you post. If you start selling something every time, people aren't going to come back. So giving your audience through social media, and that's free, some good insight, share with them some things that you know better than anybody else. Those are three quick ways: Google Business profile, website, and social media. Just staying relevant there. Those are three quick things that you can do relatively inexpensively to get started.
To just add on to that, what is maybe one thing that they absolutely shouldn't do?
I would say the one thing you shouldn't do is copy your competition, just because a lot of people think that they will get very distracted early on by just trying to do what their competition is doing. And remember, you don't necessarily know that your competition is killing it. There's a lot of things that you don't know about your competition. So by copying them, you're getting no further along. And I really truly believe in understanding what your value proposition is and making it different from anybody else out there. And so if you copy your competition, and really just, try to rip them off, then that's not gonna help you in the long run. So I would say do your best to keep your eye on the prize, stay focused on what you do better than anybody else, and don't worry too much about what your competition's doing.
Of that. Well, so again, tell us the kinds of companies that you prefer to work with and how they could get in contact with you to work with you.
Yes, we work best with tech companies, particularly lately, managed services providers and IT companies, B2B tech companies that don't need a full in-house marketing team but need the support of one. We work hand in hand with those folks. So if you're over $5 million, you've got 50 or so employees, and you are serving clients in a B2B tech, with a B2B tech product or service, we are a great option for you, and you can find us at thebusinessgrowers.com.
I love that. So, a lot of times, especially the person who started the tech company has a little bit of apprehension for the marketing. So, can you just kind of end us off here by allaying some of their fears that doing all this marketing stuff isn't going to be bad for them?
I think the best way to do it is just what I said earlier, which is remember, we are in 2024, and every single thing that you do can be backed by data. For a good example, you can go to Google right now and find, where you rank and what keywords you need, what the gap is to get you top of search on Google. It's not necessarily rocket science. It is, you got to find somebody that knows how to do it. But all of these things, so when you make investment, you really can, in this day and age, find out exactly what your dollar is going to and how it's impacting your business. So I would say it's not as scary now as maybe it was when we were all blowing money on print ads and not and billboards and not really sure what we were getting for it. Everything's measurable now, and so your investment is easy to track and easy to prove ROI, which makes it a great option and something not to be scared of.
One more time, give us your URL for us to contact you.
Yes, it's thebusinessgrowers.com. You can also look me up. I'm very active on LinkedIn, Laura Johns, of the Business Growers, and all of our social media is at the Biz Growers.
Laura, thanks
We're
so
even
much
on
for that.
TikTok. You can find us on TikTok from time to time. So.
Love that. Well, Laura, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show
Of
today.
course. Thank you so much, Steve.
If you have a tech company, you may struggle, like many tech companies, most all of them, before you have struggled with your messaging, your branding, your marketing. How can you say to the consumer, how can you tell the potential customer what you have done to be able to connect with them, to make their lives better, easier, quicker, faster, those kind of things? How can you really nail that so that you then can do the things that makes their life better, easier, and more able to thrive in all that they do? We're going to take our first commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third-generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. This is Steve. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we're taking a look at connecting technology to customers. And I think it would only be effective to do this show if we brought a technology, a really cool one that I was able to find out while we were interviewing this person, and bring that to you and look at some of the ways that he's connecting with you and some of the cool things that they're doing with the technology so that I can show you through the example of this interview, ways of using technology, of connecting technology to customers. With that said, let's jump in to our next guest. Join me in welcoming Ellie Packhouse. Hey, Ellie, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Absolutely. So start us off. Tell us just a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Yeah, I'm an inventor. I make products that solve problems. My first business was Singular Sound. I made music tech products. We came out with 7 different products that helped musicians make new music they weren't able to make before. And in the last 5 years, I've been doing research and development and scientific studies on a device that can floss all of your teeth automatically in 10 seconds.
Oh, do tell more about that.
Sure, that one caught your attention. So there's 2 problems that we're trying to solve here. The first is that 70% of Americans regularly skip flossing. And the second problem, which, you know, to me is more frustrating of a problem, is that those who do floss almost certainly are not flossing correctly. So kind of a you don't do it, and if you do it, you're probably not doing it right sort of situation. So the device that we've been working on for the last 5 years and developing is, it's kind of like a water flosser on steroids. So there's decades of research showing that water flossing is more effective than string floss. It can get deeper underneath the gums. It can remove more plaque and so on. But it takes even longer than string to floss. And so the number one complaint people have about flossing is that it takes too long. So it's no surprise that if you take the number one problem and make it worse, that people are not really going to adopt it en masse. So our solution is to automatically aim 12 jets for you. So as it sweeps around the mouth, we can floss everything in 10 seconds, assuring you don't miss any areas and everything's done correctly.
Has this been on television? Do you have a TV commercial?
No, there is a device that has essentially knocked us off. They've managed to make themselves cheaper by not caring about efficacy, in my opinion. So we've done 5 years of research on this. We know the number of jets required are 12. There is a device out there that uses only 4 jets. We know that there's a certain diameter of jet that has been used in decades of research studies, they cut that diameter in half in order to reduce the power requirements. So essentially, they're using 1/6 of the total jets that we are. And that, you know, I have not seen any studies on their efficacy, but I can't imagine how efficacious that is. So yeah, there is something on television, but we're talking to legal about it. Not only out of concern for the RIP, but also out of the concern for the public who are going to see this and be like, wow, this doesn't work, and then not be interested in anything that may work ever again.
I love that. I mean, we could have geeked out about music products the whole time, but the flossing thing is probably more apropos to the general public.
Yeah, you know, everybody has teeth. Everybody ought to floss, and nobody wants to. But they would if it was fast and easy and effective. You know, in my opinion, and effective is crucial because you can floss in 0 seconds if you don't care about the results by just not flossing. So in my opinion, it only counts as a 10-second floss if it's actually a floss and it's actually effective.
So, you know, I mean, one of the reasons that people a lot of times use for not flossing is because it can be kind of painful. Mm-hmm. And other things like that. How does using water jets compare to that?
Yeah, absolutely. That is the number two complaint people have about flossing. The beauty of using water jets is that you can adjust the pressure. You start at a low pressure, and if you're bleeding or it's hurting, that's too much for you right now. And you don't have to increase it until you feel ready, as opposed to string, which kind of only has one setting.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's kind of hard to get the flossers to not be what they are. So you said that was the number two complaint. Did mm-hmm. you say what the number one complaint was and I missed it? Or
yes, the number one complaint is that it takes too long. The number two complaint is that it hurts. The number three complaint is that it's difficult to do correctly, which is quite a salient observation by these people.
So I'm assuming there's some kind of a guide or something that when it goes in your mouth so that it's getting in the right area, so that it's getting, you know, up into the gum line and stuff like that, and isn't just, you know, blowing water onto your teeth.
Yeah. So the way we accomplish this is an H-shaped device that can rotate. So imagine the top U goes over your top teeth and the bottom U goes over your bottom teeth. Another way to envision this is imagine you took a mouth guard and then you just took a slice of the mouth guard that goes over just one pair of top and bottom teeth. And then you rotate that mouth guard around your mouth. And that's how we accomplish getting 100% of the gum line, 100% of between the teeth. And we can do it at a 90 degree angle because a 90 degree jet is the most effective angle for flossing.
That is so awesome. So, you know, you said that besides the knockoff, not having as much water and those mm-hmm. kind of things, that it's less expensive. Can you give us a general idea of what does a device like yours cost?
So right now we are at $199.
Okay. And what's the life expectancy of something like that?
So we don't know yet. We've tested our devices with enough cycles to last over 3 years. So at least 3 years, we're still trying to break them. Now I will say that the average American spends $50,000 over their lifetime on dental procedures because of lack of oral care. So the more you can reduce that, the more money you can save.
Well, and I don't think you really want to get into the space of trying to compete price-wise with, you know, little flossers from the dollar store.
Well, the thing about the InstaFloss is that you buy it once and it lasts for a very long time. If you're actually buying string floss, that should cost you $40 a year. And if you're not actually doing it, which most people aren't, or if you're doing it and not doing it correctly, that could cost you tens of thousands of dollars in dental procedures down the line. So I really do think this is the most economical choice in the long run for most people.
Oh, I agree completely. That added to the fact that I know a few people that reuse dental floss, which is absolutely not something you should be doing, but that's a whole nother story. So, talk to us a little bit about the invention process. I mean, how did this come to you? You're sitting there one day flossing and got sick of it, and or how did you come up with it?
So, all inventions, I believe, start with a problem. And the problem that it started with for me was flossing was just taking way too long. And I'm kind of neurotic in this perspective. I need to make sure that I'm doing it correctly. Now I'm watching YouTube videos, getting in there and talking to hygienists every visit. How can I actually do this right? And man, it's taking me like 5, 6 minutes just to do it and make sure I get everything. And it's a pain. And after you've already brushed your teeth and you're tired and you want to go to bed, it's not something you really want to deal with. So as anyone would do naturally in the situation, I started buying periodontal textbooks. I started talking to hygienists, and I co-founded a company with a doctor and spent 5 years doing scientific research into developing the InstaFloss. And here we are.
And some of us that are old enough, we may remember back in the day when the original like Waterpiks and stuff like that came out. Can you give us an idea why those never really worked?
I'm not going to say that they never really worked. They did work. The issue that you have there is that they work, number one, if you use them. And most people did not want to for a number of reasons. It took a very long time. It was cumbersome. You would make a mess if you're trying to look in the mirror and aim. And all these pain points are things that prevent people from using them. However, the other things you have to not only use them, but you have to use them correctly. And the correct usage of a Waterpik is a 90-degree water jet that traces the entire gum line and between each tooth, which involves tracing not only on the front, but also on the backside of your teeth. So the part of your teeth that are facing towards the tongue. And that is very difficult to do and not miss any areas. It is very difficult to do and maintain the jet at 90 degrees. And most people are a little bit haphazard with this. And if they're not haphazard, they're looking in the mirror and they're splattering it. If you go onto Amazon, you go to a Waterpik device, and you read all the one-star reviews, you'll see exactly what the complaints people are having about that. And so we knew that we had to address those complaints for the InstaFloss. And the way we solved them for the InstaFloss was multiple jets that are aimed for you, that you don't have to look in the mirror, that assure 100% coverage. So you could just lean over the sink and allow the water to go from your mouth into the sink as opposed to from your mouth all over the mirror.
I'm assuming it has like a canister at the top of it that you put water into, or does the water run live while you're doing it, or how does the water source work?
Correct. It is a reservoir of water that goes into the unit, very similar to a desktop water pick, except we have 12 jets. We can't use running sink water because we need to pump it at a way higher pressure than the running sink water will allow in almost anybody's home.
I love that. So, and maybe this isn't a fair question, but do you have another product that you're already working on, or is this one kind of taken over your life because of how cool it is?
This one has definitely taken over my life. I eat, breathe, and sleep InstaFloss, and I think I'm going to be eat, breathing, and sleeping InstaFloss for quite some time to come until everybody is flossing because we can't leave a tooth behind.
So everybody. Just about everybody I've ever met has had an idea, at least. Not saying all of them are things that everybody would buy, but everybody's had that idea. What would be the process? How does it work? How easy or difficult is it really to bring a product to market?
Well, before you even go down the path of bringing a product to market, there's a whole bunch of steps you need to do to make sure that you actually want to bring this product to market. You have to know that there's nothing else like that out there. You have to know that it's patentable if you want to defend yourself. You have to know that people actually want it. You have to know that you can produce it at a price that people would be willing to pay. If you can make something that people want, but it costs $1 million, your customer base is pretty limited. And then you have to be certain that there's enough of a business case to justify your time, investing your life, your money, and perhaps other people's money into it as well. So that's a lot of research you have to do before you take this plunge. And once you do take this plunge, it really depends on what you're trying to make. developing a doll may be slightly easier than developing nuclear fusion. There is a sliding scale there of difficulty in terms of what it takes to get something to market. So, but I will say this, it takes longer than you think to get something to market, even when you take into account the fact that it takes longer than you think to get something to market. I never thought that it would take 5 years to get InstaFloss to market, but there was a lot of research and a lot of problems we had to solve before we were confident that InstaFloss would work.
Well, I appreciate all the work that you put into it. And of course, there are people listening now that want to get one. So tell us how and where we can get it.
Go to instafloss.com. That's like instant floss, but one word, InstaFloss, like Instagram, but InstaFloss. So instafloss.com. You could read about it. You could see videos. You could see GIFs. You could see all sorts of information. And if you believe this would make your life better, go ahead and get one.
All right, so I have one last closing comment that I'd love to have you make, and that's say something to the folks who are saying to you, I've never flossed to this point. Why should I start now?
Well, you only have to floss the ones you want to keep. But I'll go a little deeper than that. Not flossing causes inflammation in your gums, and that is linked to inflammation in one part of your body, is linked to every other part of your body because inflammation passes through the bloodstream. So not flossing is linked to a whole slew of inflammatory diseases, from arthritis to heart disease to erectile dysfunction, you name it. If blood's involved, not flossing is linked to it being worse. So I think not only for your teeth, but your overall health, your overall quality of life, you really ought to start taking care of yourself. And we want to get rid of the obstacles that make it hard to actually do so, because we all know you want to take care of yourself, but now it should be easy.
Ellie, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it.
I don't know about you, but those really sound cool. I'm looking into the possibility, maybe even of getting one. And that ultimately is the best way of connecting your technology to the customers, is showing them something really cool and how it can really impact their lives, and leaving them wanting to know more and wanting it even more, or wanting it to begin with if they never even knew it existed, and them to understand how much it can help their life and help them live as a thriving entrepreneur. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. This is Steve. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. We are talking about connecting technology to customers. What does it mean to take this cool device that you've had and show people and help them understand how it works for them? What technologies can we use to help us connect with customers? And how can tech companies be able to talk in such a way that they do connect with their customers? We've kind of talked a little bit about all that, and we've got one more great guest that also helps people be able to better reach their customers. Let's jump right in to our next guest. Join me in welcoming Leslie Hensel. Hey, Leslie, how are you doing today?
So good to be here. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, it's great to have you here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
So I have been a seller on Amazon for more than a decade, and I am the classic mommy entrepreneur that the reason I got started on Amazon was so I could take care of my family and be sure and meet their needs with a job that was a little more flexible than the consulting work that I was doing at the time. And after doing that for, gosh, a little less than a decade, my business partner and I opened up Riverbend Consulting, where we help Amazon sellers who are having challenges with their businesses. So I absolutely love it. I'm kind of a crazy person. I've worked from home for 22 years, so I was doing it before it was cool, and it still allows me that flexibility with the family. That's the whole reason I changed careers to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what kind of products and stuff did you sell on Amazon, or do you still sell on Amazon?
I still sell on Amazon. I sell in the health and beauty space now. For a long time, I sold whatever would make a profit. I really did not care about the category. I just wanted to find things that I could flip and make some money.
That's a whole radio show we could do there. Just how do you find them? How do you flip them? How do you actually make money? Especially for working moms and stuff like that, and that need to have money right now versus some kind of a program that is, 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, you could finally get to the point where money. So is that the kind of stuff that you do now in your consulting company, is help people like that, or is it a little different twist that you take?
So the consulting work that I do right now is with people whose products or accounts have been suspended from Amazon, or if they're having some other difficulty with Amazon, with their catalog, some kind of a technical issue that Amazon just won't help them. Amazon is a Leviathan. It's a really big company. It's kind of like working with a government agency sometimes. And if you don't know their vocabulary, you can't necessarily solve those problems. So I've worked with sellers of all sizes, from the little guys selling out of their basement, like I was for so long, all the way up to the largest seller on Amazon, who did more than $1 billion in a year of revenue only on Amazon. But I'll tell you what though, because you just mentioned the 3 months for the course. That's one of the problems with getting into Amazon. There are all of these people out there who are trying to sell you Lamborghinis and living on the beach and just use my system and pay me $10,000 and it's all automatic. And if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So my message to sellers or people who want to be sellers is that you can do it your way. There are ways to find your goals. And I think most people who want to sell on Amazon, they want to do it as a side hustle. They want to make $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month profit, and then maybe turn it into a bigger business. But it's for their own personal goals. It doesn't have to be some expensive system.
So let's go back to those early days, or to somebody that's starting in their early days. How do they walk me through it? How would we discover what products we should do? All that kind of stuff.
So a big part of it is first being educated about understanding Amazon and where the risk points are. So for example, supplements are risky. You can see 10 reasons that supplements are risky. People complain they made them sick. Maybe your manufacturer didn't follow good manufacturing processes. There's all kinds of different ways that that can be a problematic category. So you're staying away from that one. You stay away from things with lots of moving parts that can break. So I'll give you an example of when I have a client who has a problem because one of their statistics is messed up in their account. I tell them to go buy SD cards. SD cards can't break. They always work. I've never had one that I've put into a camera or a computer or a device that did not function properly. You're going to have no complaints. So I'm not saying to go sell SD cards, but look for those kinds of products that have high demand, that are going to have few complaints and issues that you're going to have to deal with down the road.
What kind of realistic amount of money should a person have to, buy their first batch of products to then be able to resell them?
So back in the day, when it was a little easier to get started on Amazon, I literally started with about $500 because I went to library book sales. And you can still do that. You can still go to book sales at libraries, and only buy the books that are the crazy books. And when I say crazy books, like books on witchcraft, books on homesteading, books on how to grow mushrooms. There's all of these really super specialty books that you can sell for $60, $75, $100 that are out of print, that have never been on Kindle. And you can go buy them for a buck and flip them. So there are those kinds of products still out there. A lot of folks try and get started around holidays. So they'll create a bundle for the holiday, or they will go find hot items for that holiday. Most suppliers out there, if you're buying things from a distributor or a wholesaler, they have a minimum order. And so some of them, the minimum order is huge. It's $5,000, $10,000. But if you keep looking, you'll find them that are 500 bucks. So you can actually place an order for just 500 bucks and get going.
I love that. So what is the, and there's so many of them, we could go off on Amazon, but we won't go that direction. What is the one thing that you help people with all the time that you wish everybody really knew about, you know, using Amazon and being a seller on Amazon?
Amazon is not eBay. There are so many sellers who got their start on eBay because they're taking items they had around the house, things they found at garage sales, product that's already sitting there, and they list it on eBay. Well, when you list on eBay, it's your very own listing. It's just you. No one else is on that listing. You don't have to necessarily put a UPC, like the barcode, on the listing. You can say whatever you want to on the listing. But Amazon's a different animal. Amazon wants to have one listing detail page for every seller of whatever product. So like right now, I have a terrible sore throat and I was using this lovely chloraseptic spray. And so if you want to sell chloraseptic spray, you can't just go create a new listing for chloraseptic spray and take your own pictures and get it up there. You have to go to the existing listing for that chloraseptic and just add yourself to it. And sellers get themselves in big trouble if they're just trying to operate the same way that they always did on eBay and just take it straight to Amazon.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I mean, of course, I only ever deal with books. And, you know, so of course, when you put your book out for the first time, that is a unique description. So,
yes, it absolutely is. Yeah, and books are really interesting still on Amazon. It's fascinating to me the amount of volume that is still done in used actual books, not just Kindle books out there. But in that category, the fees can kill you. Also, the shipping can get kind of high because they're heavy. It's just how it is. And people don't want you to send it media mail. It takes too long. They're impatient. So it can be a little difficult, but the crazy thing is if you only search for those certain books, you have to find your niche. You only search for those certain books where you're making 20 bucks a book. You can make a nice side income.
I love that. So Amazon's changed so much over the course of the last 20 years. Those of us that have been around in it that long, we've seen it. What is probably the biggest change that you've seen?
The biggest change is all around intellectual property. Okay, so hang in with me, y'all, because I know that when I say that, everyone's like, turn it off, not listening anymore. So intellectual property, there's a lot of different types. There's trademark and copyright and patent. Well, some of the really big brands out there don't like third-party sellers, which are people like me and you, on their listings. They want to control their brand. And so sometimes they will make complaints against everyday sellers saying, I violated their trademark just because I listed their product. And did I do that? No, I did not, because it's authentic product. So some brands are very aggressive about this. Amazon has been pushing back that when these brands file fake complaints, Amazon will reverse them, and then they will even take away their ability to file those complaints over time, which is awesome. But what sellers need to know, or would-be sellers need to know, is how important it is to keep all your receipts and invoices and keep them in such a way that you can search through them and actually find products. Because Amazon might say to you, hey, Steve, you sold this puzzle and someone filed a trademark complaint against you. Well, the obvious defense to that is to show, actually, I bought this from a distributor. Here's my invoice. It's a real product. The distributor gets it from the manufacturer. So the big change now, because you mentioned it's so different from 20 years ago, you really have to run an Amazon business like an old school business. It's not just fly by the seat of your pants anymore. You have to actually have your documentation, know your numbers, run your books, which sounds like a lot, but it really, you can set that up step by step. And once it's all set up, it's pretty easy to follow.
Oh, I love that. What is, of all the products you sold, what's your favorite one that you sold over the years?
Oh my goodness. So long time ago, before Amazon asked people for invoices and receipts, which they do regularly now, I would source a lot of inventory at what they call banana box stores. Banana box stores are grocery clearance centers, and the food in them, a lot of it's expired. But if you go through product to product and aisle to aisle, you can find things that have plenty of room on the expiration dates. I bought this Cajun rice mix that was these clear packages, a brand that was apparently really well known. And I got them for 59 cents each. And I sold a 12 pack for like $95. I think that was my favorite flip that I ever had because I had a whole SUV load of them. So, you know, my sons have always helped me in my Amazon business. My husband too, but especially my sons. We want to teach them how businesses work. We want to teach them to contribute to family income, especially since a lot of the money that we earn goes to things like their tuition. And we turn everything into how many months of tuition did we just pay with that rice, right? So that was an exciting one because I remember it was a few months worth of tuition.
I love that. It's a great way too to teach kids a lot of things that we wish they would have learned in school that they never do. But even some of the basics, you know, writing and arithmetic and fractions and all kinds of stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that's a blast. Just thinking through the project too, because some of it is it's not fun. So if you have a whole lot of inventory and you're shipping it to Fulfilled by Amazon, so you're not fulfilling your own orders. You ship them to an Amazon warehouse and they ship for you. Getting a shipment ready, if it's large, can take several hours. And you're sorting your product into three different shipments, four different shipments, and counting and recounting and stickering. And, you know, if you're eight, that's really boring. So just teaching them back in the day to stick with it. I always joke that my now 16-year-old, when he was two, we had him stickering products.
I love that. That's awesome. So give us an idea of the kind of people that would be the perfect people to work with you.
Absolutely. So, Steve, can I plug my book? Can I do it?
Yes. Yeah. Please do. Tell us about your book.
Awesome. Okay. So most of the sellers I work with are established sellers, but I wrote a book for everyone else who wants to get into Amazon and doesn't want to get sucked into some program or some trap or something that's thousands of dollars. Because I'm telling you, these people who say automated course, only $10,000, you're going to make all this money. It's just a scam. Don't do it. So my book is like $25. And what it tells you is how to do it your way, how to set your goals, how to decide which method that you want to sell, FBA or merchant fulfilled, how to choose products, how to advertise products. It's all the basics. So if you want to create a side hustle on Amazon, or if you've been a side hustler, you want to start selling private label, all the information is in there. So you can find it at theamazonincubator.com. Because the book is The Amazon Incubator, Hatch Your Business or Grow a New One. And sorry, I just said that backward. Grow your business or hatch a new one. I think I would know since it's my book. And you can find it on all the major book retailer sites. But if you go to theamazonincubator.com, we have all the links there. So you can jump straight there and some bonus material too. So I would encourage people who are looking for that side hustle in the new year, or people, I know a lot of folks who want to retire and they don't know how because they need side income to retire. This is great for you if you're a stay-at-home parent or just someone who's tired of the rat race. You want to build something and get out. It really is a way to financial freedom for a lot of folks.
Oh, I love that so much. Looks like it's in pre-order currently on Amazon, getting ready to come out here in another couple of weeks. Depending on when the show airs, it'll probably be out and available for people. So beyond that, give us the URL again and the kind of people that should just chase after you.
So it's theamazonincubator.com. You can also find me on all the social media sites at Leslie Hensel, H-E-N-S-E-L-L. So come to me if you're stuck with a problem on Amazon, if you're afraid to jump in, you don't know what to do, if you want a suggestion for just how to get off the dime and get started, or if you've got an existing account and Amazon has you suspended or will not help you, come see me virtually. I love to get messages. I love to connect. I love for y'all to follow me and ask questions. That's what I'm here for. So we give away a ton of information. And that's what I want to do for anyone who's interested in being an Amazon seller.
I love that so much. Leslie, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Hey, thanks, Steve. It was great.
Amazon selling has come such a long ways from the days back in the garage, you know, on his knees, packing boxes of books. So many cool things that Amazon does these days, including still books. You know, and yes, you could still put out your book and be a bestseller, but that's just a shameless plug for me. But there are technologies that help you be able to do it better, methodologies that help you be able to better use that tech. And those are all things that you want and need to be able to know, so that you can really connect that technology, the thing that you do, and all of that ultimately to the customers that you're intended to, meant to, want to serve. What a great way to live as a thriving entrepreneur. And it's something you totally should do because you're important. That's right, you are. You're uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. And the world needs you. Yes, you. We're so excited when you just bring that amazing individual that is you out to the world in the totally cool and unique way that is just you showing up in the world, doing the things that you do, connecting to your customers, to the people you're meant to serve, to the folks in your life. Doing all of those kind of things to be the best you can be while it's called today. And there are technologies out there, including some cool new things with AI, that'll allow you to be connecting the technology to the customers, using the technology to connect to the customers, and on to be able to make the lives of the people you're meant to serve even better. And I don't know about you, but I get kind of excited when I think about being able to do the thing that I'm meant to do, that I love to do, and using it to help somebody's world and life be better. It's such a cool opportunity when that all comes together, when we can connect the technology to our customers, and we can use the technology to connect to our customers, and we can do all of it so that we can just be the best version of ourselves. While it's called today. That's right, just today. And then tomorrow will take care of itself when it gets here. I'm so glad that you spent some time here with us today. I hope that in everything you do, you're living your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Thanks so much for being with us here. And until we're together again next time, I hope you have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third-generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message
with the world.
Go to AskSteveKid.com and schedule a time to talk today.